Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you.
Good afternoon, and thanks for tuning in today. So glad you joined us. I'm Bill Arnold, in for Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. We're here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So welcome to Live the Promise, and happy Wednesday to you. You know, we're seeing a lot in the world today that can bring us fear. The earthquakes in Ecuador, Japan, different cultural divides and economic stresses. Hey, I'm even afraid of certain TV commercials. You know, like those commercials for toenail fungus, where those little cartoon characters lift up that crusty yellow toenail like the hood of a Pontiac, and they wave their friends in like it's fungus Fort Lauderdale. That scares me. So I'm scared about a lot of stuff. I've digressed here a little bit, but there's a lot of things we can focus on today, but we can choose to train our eyes on Jesus instead and his constant presence in our lives. We're going to talk to Trillia Newbell about that and how God helps us overcome our fear. Then in the second hour, I'm joined by David Pierce, the founder of Steiger International, along with his son Aaron, for a discussion about reaching the youth of this world with the gospel. But before we welcome Trillia, I want to say a special welcome to our friends listening on the Faith 1290 in Hartford. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 877-933-2484 and ask for a new listener welcome packet. So let me tell you a little bit about my guest and we'll bring her on the show. Trillia Newbell is an author and speaker whose books include Fear and Faith and United, Captured by God's Vision for Diversity. She currently serves as the consultant on women's initiatives for the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission for the Southern Baptist Convention. She's married to her very best friend, Thurn, and they live with their children near Nashville. You can find her resources up at myfaithradio.com. Trillia, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be there.
Awesome. Now, as you know, Susie loves to start each show with discussing a passage of Scripture chosen by you. What do you have for us today?
Yes. It's Ephesians 2, and it is, for by grace you have been saved, and this is through faith. And I didn't have it pulled up. I didn't know I needed to.
That's all right.
But it is.
I'll give it to you. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast.
Right. Yes. Yes, that's my theme verse. When I first became a Christian, when I first was introduced to the Lord, I didn't understand grace, and I didn't understand that it was by faith. And so I was working really, really hard for my salvation. And then someone explained to me, it is by grace that you have been saved, and it's through faith, and it's a free gift. And I remember when I first read that verse and how the Lord opened my eyes to see this truth, and it has blessed me ever since, just as I think about not just salvation, but every good thing that he does. It's a gift, mm-hmm. and he is I'm so thankful for that. And so it is my theme verse for my life.
Yeah, I'd love to hear your story of how you came to faith in Christ. Let me stir my coffee and I'll go ahead.
Okay. Well, I became a Christian at the age of 22. And when I was 19, a young girl shared the gospel with me. We were at a small camp together, and I was leading the camp, and she was my assistant, and we were staying in the same hotel room. And I remember she opened her Bible up to have a quiet time one evening, and I got defensive immediately and asked her what she was doing, and she's like, I'm just trying to read the Bible. And the next thing you know, we're both on her bed, I'm crying, confessing sin, and she's sharing the gospel with me. It took me 2 years, two broken engagements, before the Lord, and God humbled me, and I gave my life to him and have not looked back since. And so it was real transforming grace and salvation that day. I'm really thankful for that. My life has changed forever. So I believe wholeheartedly in the power of evangelism and that we should share. Yeah.
So you had a broken heart more than once, but the broken heart lives on, doesn't it?
Yes. Well, and that broken engagement is now my husband of 13 years.
Oh,
so
awesome.
God has a way of redeeming. Yes. He redeems and he reconciles and he is good.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to talk about your book, Fear and Faith, Finding the Peace Your Heart Craves. Now, I was reading that title, and I love every word in the title. I love peace, heart, craves, find, and faith. Fear, I'm not so crazy about, but that's the whole subject of the book, and we're going to talk about that. Growing up, our greatest fears, you know, starting as a kid, might have been that person, the boogeyman in the closet, or something that, you know, starts off kind of innocent, but we create this little monster in our brain, and we got to figure out what to do with it. And then we become adults, and those little fears morph into something much more significant. Things that keep us up at night worrying. We don't know about our future. We start playing things out in our head. I've been told I'm an awfulizer, and that's what this is, Trillia, is you project into the future. You create a scenario which may or may not happen in the future, and then you insert it into your head today as if it's already happening. This is insanity. Do you do that too?
Yes. Oh, yes. When my husband, we moved to the Nashville area. And when we first moved here, my husband had taken a new job, and this job required some travel. Well, he had never traveled before, so I was never faced with this fear, oh, will he return? So I remember one of the first times that he left, by the time he had walked out the door, I had his burial, eulogy, everything figured out. I was crying. It was so ridiculous. But my mind immediately went to the worst case scenario. I didn't have faith for that, obviously, because it hadn't happened. So, but I had made it this scenario in my mind of my husband not returning and I would be a single mom. So.
Oh, my goodness. Now, you and I are...
Yeah, I was a widow.
You and I are such kindred spirits already. I just want you to know we are kindred spirits. And I think there's a lot of listeners today that are going to go, yeah, that's me too. Because fear is an emotion that we feel in such a variety of ways. And oftentimes it can be horribly paralyzing and it can be controlling. And, I think what you're saying is that it's a byproduct of the sin in our heart. And because fear, it says in your book, has a way of whispering lies to our souls about who God is. Talk about that.
They do. Well, in the case that I just shared, my fear is of the future, and my fear is of a tragedy that hasn't happened. And so what I really want is control. I want to be God.
Oh, yeah.
I want to be sovereign. I want to be all-knowing. And so I'm taking these, it's kind of like what Matthew says, we don't need to worry about tomorrow. Today has enough worries of its own, in Matthew, it says. And so I just think what we often do is we want we just forget God. It's a real battle of unbelief. So during those times, I am not trusting God for my future and resting in Him. And I make these fears that I don't need to worry about. Until something does happen, it's something I don't need to even be thinking on.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think that we can. There's so many different ways that we fear, but ultimately, I think our fears are rooted in unbelief, and that we don't believe.
Yeah. Now you've been vulnerable to the point where saying your husband goes on this business trip, and you already have him in the ground, and you've done your eulogy, and you've worn your black dress to the funeral, and you're talking about some of your fears. What are some of the other fears you've struggled with over the years?
Sure. Something that I think is incredibly common to man is something called the fear of man. Proverbs calls it that the fear of man lays a snare. It's like a trap. So what it is that we either fear the opinions of others, and how it plays out is that we are we can say things that we maybe wouldn't say, or we'll do things that we wouldn't do, or just the opposite. We'll do things that we have a conviction that we don't want to do, and we do them. So there's all these things. Or we fear other people, and we will judge. So someone doesn't email us back, we might assume the absolute worst of the person. And so there's just so many different ways that we fear other people. Our boss, we don't want to disappoint them. Mm-hmm. And so we make all these assumptions up, and we do all these various things to try to please them. And it is a trap. It's a trap because it motivates us and pushes us to do things, not for the Lord, but for either our own glory or to please people. And Peter did it. That's why he denied Christ three times, because he was afraid. He was afraid of the opinions of three people, even a little girl. I mean, he was afraid. And so it leads us to do things like deny Jesus to our neighbor.
Yeah.
And so so that's fear of man. And then I've talked about fear of future, fear of physical appearance. So we've got a culture that tells us that women need to look a certain way, and we can become really absorbed by this and fearful to face our husbands, or fearful to wear certain clothes, or fearful to get on a scale, whatever it is, fearful to look in the mirror, because we have bought into this notion that we are supposed to look a certain way. And rather than understanding that our bodies are made to glorify God, and our bodies are made ultimately for worship,
mm-hmm.
and sacrifice. So anyway, we can fear other women, and this looks like comparison. Have you heard of the mommy wars?
I have not, but so do tell me what
okay,
it is.
Okay, well, I will enlighten you.
Thank
it's
you.
Things like should we nurse, or should we bottle feed?
Okay.
Should we or go organic or not organic?
Mm-hmm.
Lunchables versus homemade food. I mean, there's just a number of pressures that women put on each other, where really we could just be a band of sisters. They don't matter. We can just encourage one another. These things in scripture, they're just not there. They don't matter. And so there's freedom in Christ to make these decisions. But yet, often we can judge one another and be fearful, feel like we're not living up to these certain standards. They could be our own standards. They
mm-hmm.
don't even have to be the standards of your sister. There could be our very own standards. And so we can be discouraged and despondent and really condemn ourselves because of these things that don't matter.
Yeah.
But they can be important, but they don't matter in the big scheme of things when we look at the scriptures. And so those are some of those things that I think we can be fearful of, and it hinders our enjoyment of God.
Okay, Trillia, we're going to take a little break. We have lots more coming up with Trillia Newbell. You're listening to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold in for Susie Larson today, and we're talking about fear and faith. You're not going to want to miss this. This is awesome. Be back in a minute. Thanks for joining us today. Bill Arnold is in for the fabulous Susie Larson, talking to Trillia Newbell today, and she's written a book called Faith and Fear, Finding the Peace Your Heart Craves. Isn't that just the truth? We are craving peace. And Trillia, right before we went to the break, you were talking about, wouldn't it be great if these band of sisters just all came together? But there is the comparison game that goes on that is very stressful for people, because we sometimes compare our insides to other people's outsides when it comes to, you know, our body image or whatever it is that we're trying to measure up against each other. And it can be very discouraging and depressing. So in reality, I love what you said. In theory, how do we make that next step to get closer to reality?
I think there's a few ways. One, I think understanding what are practices and what are principles. So a lot of the things that we do are just practices. They're just things that we either have a conviction about, but they aren't necessarily grounded in scripture. So for example, if someone has decided they are a vegetarian, that is something they've decided. But that doesn't mean that everyone needs to be a vegetarian. Mm-hmm. Or if someone has decided that they prefer organic foods, that is a practice and that is fine. But that doesn't mean that everyone who doesn't practice that way is in sin. But so often we take our practices and we make them principles. We make them scripture, grounded like God's word. And we say, if you don't do this certain thing, then you are less of a whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So I think what we need to just do is to, one, remember, okay, what does God's word say about all of these various things? Then I think also remember that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. And so we each need God's grace. We each need Jesus. And if we could see each other in light of, in the way God sees us as his children, as his daughters, then we can relate as sisters rather than factions or quarreling factions or, we can really love one another when we see each other the way God does. And then to think that we are clothed in Christ's righteousness is ridiculous for those who've placed their trust and hope in Jesus. So we can, if we can view one another like that, we can have really grace for one another. We can forgive, be forbearing. That's something that it takes the power of the Spirit in mm-hmm. order to do.
Yeah.
And then if we can remember Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, that we are one body with many parts. And so we can't all be heads and we can't all be feet, but we're all needed in some way.
Right.
It's not that kind of need like God needs us in order to run the universe. That's not true. But in the body, local body, we're needed. And so we can look and say, okay, I'm a pinky and I play an important role as a pinky.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to be the head.
Mm-hmm.
And we can enjoy one another and exercise the way that the Lord is our various gifts. And so I think that's just a few ways that we could be a band of sisters.
Mm-hmm.
If we remember what's actually a principle, like what does the word of God say about all of these things that we think are so important, then if we can view one another the way God views us, and then third, if we can remember that we're all one, we're a body with many parts, and God has gifted us all very differently, and we can all play a role with our unique gifting that God has given us.
Mm-hmm. Julia, has social media made it to the point where we need more approval and affirmation? I mean, I think I heard a story of a mom taking her phone and videoing their child, and the 7 or 8 year old child said, "Boy, is that video Facebook worthy, Mom?" It's almost like, is the video good enough to go on Facebook? It's like, what about the need for approval that comes with social media and everything else? Because everybody lives their life out loud right now. So if you look around and you start comparing, I think you start to get more fearful that you're not measuring up.
Yes. Okay. So social media is one of those interesting things. I am very active on social media. I post pictures and I post videos and I enjoy looking at my friends' pictures and videos. I can do that with freedom and not generally comparison. And because I know the reality of the world, that we're in a fallen world, and the reality is there isn't anyone who isn't struggling in some way.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that reality, so I can look at these pictures and I can rejoice with my friends. I can rejoice. Like, oh, today looked like it was a good day. They're playing outside. I can rejoice in that. But I know that it is difficult for some people to look and see that everything looks like sunshine and roses while your life is like in chaos. And it can be discouraging. So there's a few things I think. I think one, social media is, it's optional. We don't ever have to get on Facebook. It is not something that we are made to do. So I think if someone struggles in that regard, they don't ever have to get on it. Two, we can be honest. We have the option, and really we should, when we post something, we can post something dishonest. We don't have to pretend. We can post what honestly. Mm-hmm. But again, knowing it's optional, we don't ever have to post. And so I think that is something that we just have to be aware of, is that it is a fallen world. We want to be able to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. But we also have, it's optional. We don't have to get on it. And I enjoy it, but that doesn't mean that everyone should do it. Mm-hmm. I think that there are some who would really struggle, and if that is the case, then it is something that maybe pull away from and not necessarily be on.
Yeah, Trilly, you are so wise and so charming. My goodness. Okay. when we think about overcoming fear, we're going to take a little break here in just a couple of minutes. So when we think of overcoming fear, what's wrong with the phrase "let go and let God"? Is it really that simple?
Yeah. So you really can't let go and let God. You need to let go and run to God and submit to God and to give your what you're anxious about to the Lord. And so I think when we say those phrases, I think it minimizes really our sweet relationship with the Lord, and that we need to run to Him, mm-hmm. run and ask Him for help. I just love the Psalms, because David in particular is just crying out, whether he's joyful or completely in misery. He's crying out and praising the Lord or asking Him not to be forgotten. So I think in our fears in particular, we need to run to the Lord and help, ask Him to help us be transformed by His Spirit. We can even ask Him for good things, right?
So mm-hmm, absolutely.
If we're fearful, so when my husband leaves, I can ask the Lord. I don't have to let go and let God. I can say, God, I am fearful. I confess my fear. Would you protect my husband, please? Would you care for him on this trip? That is a desire of my heart, and I pray that you would do that, Lord. In your goodness and sovereignty, have mercy on him. Would you do that, and on our family? And if it's your will to take him, then that is your will. But right now, that's the cry
wow.
of my heart.
That's an awesome prayer.
Do.
Yeah, we're going to take a little break. Trilly, you're listening to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold in today for Susie Larson. We're having an amazing conversation with Trilly Newbell. She's written a book called Fear and Faith. So lots more coming up. Stay tuned. Be back in a minute. Welcome back to Live the Promise. So glad you're joining us today. We're talking about a very important topic, fear, because we all have some of it somewhere. And we're talking to Trilly Newbell today. She's written a book called Fear and Faith, Finding the Peace Your Heart Craves. I know everyone listening says, yeah, I my heart craves some peace in some area. And it's probably connected to fear. So in her book, she writes, tragically, you and I deny Christ every time we care more about what others think of us than what God has already declared. Every time we seek approval and praise, we say to the Lord that His sacrifice was not enough. Those are pretty powerful statements, Trilly.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Well, I think that it's true. It's true that when we are afraid of the opinions of other people, so much so that it can paralyze some of us.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, I know it has for me. I know that for me, I have been just so fearful of what others would think, and a fear that I've of disapproval and that I've disappointed someone. And I think what happens is it can grip us that we forget that God already sees us, and He's already pleased with us because of His Son. And if that is true, then what I'm actually doing is worshiping these people.
Yeah.
I'm worshiping other people. And so if I can just get to the root, what is it that is going on really that is causing me this anxiety, then I can not only love people better, but I can submit that fear to the Lord and remember and trust Him. God says, what can man do but kill the body?
Mm-hmm.
But can't kill the soul. So I have to remember, that's right. If God is for me, who can be against me? Thank you, Romans 8. I love Romans 8.
Love
all of
Romans
it,
8.
Thank you for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah.
Soak into that. So I think that is something that, we have to fight against, is reminding us about God.
Yeah, we always have to be speaking truth into our own heart, don't we? And that comes from God's word.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, go ahead, Trillia.
Oh, no, I was just saying, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I think that in order for us to fight, we do have to remember that it starts with God's word. So we have to be in His word.
Mm-hmm.
and know that it is useful and good. And so that is, it's where we fight.
Yeah. Is fear and worry the same idea?
Yes. So I think it can go hand in hand. Fear is, worry is often reflected in how we fear. So,
sure.
For example, when we look at Matthew, I believe it's 5 or 6, where he's talking about, he clothes the lilies of the, why are we worried about tomorrow, what we're going to eat,
mm-hmm.
and what we're going to drink. Okay, but yet we are worried. What that worry and anxiety is that we are fearful of poverty, or we are fearful of our property being taken.
Mm-hmm.
We are fearful of whatever we're fearful of. So I do think they can go hand in hand, that our worrying is, if we look at some sort of root, there's something that we're fearing that would cause us to be anxious.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that some of those same fights and the solutions are similar as a result. So he tells us not to worry about tomorrow, because today has enough troubles of their own. And not only that, God is providing. If He's going to provide for the lilies, then He's going to provide for us.
Right.
So that same what we need to do to fight that worry is the same thing that we need to do to fight that fear.
Mm-hmm.
So I do believe that they can go hand in hand.
Yeah, I'm not worried about what I'm going to eat tomorrow, because I have a Groupon for sushi.
There you go.
So I'm all set tomorrow.
I like sushi.
I do too. Trillia, what's wrong with the popular sayings like love yourself and believe in yourself? I mean, how do these messages, do they perpetuate the fear of man?
Yeah, well, I think they perpetuate the self-glorification and worship, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
If I believe, I'm going to fail, so I don't want to believe in myself. Because I know I'm going to fail. I think we also have the unfortunate saying that failure is not an option.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that when we try to believe in ourselves, then we're going to end up being that much more condemned and that much more discouraged, because we are going to fail. Only God is not going to fail. Only God is all-knowing and all-powerful, and He is going to keep the promises that we just aren't. We're not going to be all that we want to be all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that we can't succeed. That doesn't mean that we can't do well, but we are going to fail. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm going to believe in something, I want to believe in God, and I want to believe in his promises. I want to believe that he's going to finish the good work he began in me, not that I have to finish the good work that he began in me.
Right.
And that brings me faith, because he can do that. He can do that. I can't do that, but he can because he's God. And so, I think that, and loving ourselves, well, I think that, yes, we want to be encouraged, and Tim Keller has he's a pastor in New York, and he has a beautiful saying, and I'm going to butcher it, but it's something like, it's not that we need to think less of ourselves. We need to think of ourselves less.
Right. Yeah, you got that absolutely correct. I'm a Tim Keller junkie, so I know that line.
Oh, yeah. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. So we don't need to think less of ourselves. So I'm not saying, okay, then just be down on yourself. I'm just saying if we think of ourselves less and think of God more, what a better thing to think on, and how much more encouraging and encouraged we'd be. So, for example, if we're condemned, if we sit and keep trying to think, oh, no, I'm a good person, I can do this, well, we're just going to be more condemned. But if we think, no, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, I am covered by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, that's encouraging. I want to think on that.
Yeah.
That's what I want to think about. So, that's what I mean.
Okay, I know this person, and it's not me, as far as you know.
Okay.
Yeah. And this person might have an overly critical spirit of themselves. Does that say that they're focusing too much on themselves and not God, and that's my problem?
Yes.
Oh wait, I just blew it. I just blew it.
It's the hypothetical person.
Yes,
I would say,
person that we don't really know personally. Go ahead.
Whoever that person is.
Whoever, I don't know who it is, but go ahead.
Yeah, speaking for a friend.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that. I have had a morbid introspection habit too.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so hard. It is so hard. And there's a good thing to be aware of our sin. God says that it's his kindness that brings us to repentance. The problem is if we are never going to the repenting part and remembering God's forgiveness, part. So we remember our sin and we dwell on our sin and we're like, oh, we're so sinful. Woe is me. But that we never say, oh, but that's right. God is gracious.
Mm-hmm.
His son died for that. So we need to remember that when we are overly or morbidly introspective,
mm-hmm.
we're trying to crucify ourselves when it's already been done. It is finished.
Yeah.
And thank God that's true. So I would say to the person who struggles with viewing their sin and just being so aware, preach the gospel to yourself over and over and over again, and remind yourself that you have a substitute and he has died. It is finished.
Yeah.
And so I have to do that. I'm even now I'm like, oh, that's right. It is finished. And so we can rest in that. We don't have to be condemned because of that. And we can view our sin, which we should, mm-hmm. but then we repent and turn immediately to the cross.
Yeah. I had a friend say to me once, if you treated your friends the way you treat yourself, you wouldn't have any friends. And I thought, we get really hard on ourselves and beat ourselves up. And then we can't figure out why we're feeling blue or melancholy.
Yeah, and you know, I actually kind of address this in the book on measuring up. We fear we're not measuring up.
Mm-hmm.
We want to measure up. We want to do well. We want to measure up even to God, which leads to legalism and leads to all sorts of things.
Yeah,
when we forget grace and we forget the gospel. And we forget that we have a resurrected king who right now, he's not dead. He's defeated death.
Right.
And so there's much, but I forget it all the time. And I have to remind myself all the time of this truth that I proclaim isn't something that I haven't, arrived. I'm not like, oh, I've defeated, I know, you know, this is something I have to preach to myself.
Yeah, I get it. I get it, sister. You preach.
Yeah.
All right. What happens in us? I know this is something that we're all going to think about as you give an answer as best you can. But what happens inside each of us when we start fearing the future? I do a lot of idiotic role-playing in my head. You know, you always hear people that say, you know, he broke his leg skiing on the last run of the day. It's like, well, of course it was the last run of the day. You don't take one more run after your bone sticking out of your skin. That pretty much ends the day. And I sometimes will do this little exercises where I go, where I'll project something that's going to may or may not happen. And then I make it a reality.
Yeah.
And I go, why am I thinking into the future and creating a scenario that may never happen? What am I doing? And why don't I just let God's grace be sufficient today?
Yeah.
So why do we fear the future?
Well, I think because we don't have control over it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we want control. And there's something in us that we know that we're not sovereign. We know that we don't have control of the future. And I think that's part of why we make up these scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
We do that even with our boss. Oh, he's going to do something. Now this could be fear, man. And the next thing you know, I'm going to be fired or whatever it is. Or someone says they need to call you for a meeting and you assume the absolute worst, but really all they wanted to do is ask you a question. So we do this with all sorts of things. It doesn't have to be tragic and horrible. Mm-hmm. It can be all, but I really think it's just, we want control and we don't have it. And it's hard. It's hard. It's hard not to know the future. It's hard not to be in control. And we desire it. And so what we have to do is remind ourselves of God's full character. I think sometimes we can say, oh yeah, God, he rules, he's sovereign, but we forget, oh, that's right, he's also good and loving.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to remind ourselves of all the truth about God and who he is and not just parts of him.
Yeah.
Because when we do that, it can only grow our fear.
Yeah. Trulia, I have a question, and we only have a couple minutes, but I think we're going to need more time than a couple minutes to get this, but I want to get it started. You write that women, are getting really good at hating each other. Why?
Yeah, you know, I think part of our divide, and we covered some of this, is just that there are so many random things that we are. Do we homeschool or do we unschool, Montessori school, center school? So I think that because of the comparison and because we've held up practices and various things that we think are godly, as godly as we've held these things up, women can be really hard on one another.
Mm-hmm.
We can be really hard instead of encouraging. So I really think that's it. We've made idols out of good things and idols out of choices.
Yes.
And then because they are our little gods, we divide instead of uniting and loving one another.
Mm. Well, I am absolutely loving this conversation. I'm talking to Trulia Newbill. She's written a book called Fear and Faith, Finding the Peace Your Heart Craves. And we're going to have a lot more coming up with her. One more segment. We're going to take a little break. And when we come back, lots more. You're listening to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold in for the fabulous Susie Larson today. Be back in just a minute. To Live the Promise, Bill Arnold in for Susie Larson. We're talking to Trulia Newbill today. She's written a book called Fear and Faith, and we're loving this conversation big time. You know, Trulia, our society has so much emphasis on doing so many things at once. I think they call it multitasking. I don't know if I like that word. Where, you know, you have to do it all, you have to have it all. It seems like that can be motivating and helpful, but it's got to drive up the fear in people because the whole idea is exhausting to me.
Oh, yeah, it is exhausting. And I think that the American dream, I'm going to speak real specifically to our culture, but I think has kind of shaped that. kind of shaped that, okay, we need to be keep up with the Joneses. Is that the phrase?
Sure.
And yeah, so I think that we can, it can be a temptation. Yes. When we're trying to strive to keep up with whatever, whomever, that, yeah, oh yeah, it's, we can have fear of the future, fear of losing things, loads of fears, mm-hmm. And anxiety. And so, yeah, I definitely think that that is a temptation. And then we are just a busy people.
Mm-hmm.
And I say this as I'm unfortunately a busy woman. And busyness doesn't equate to effectiveness. That's something that I've got to remember in my, like, just because I'm busy doesn't mean I'm being effective. It just means I'm busy. And so I think that, that's something that we can fear saying no to people, fear disappointing, but then what we end up doing is dropping balls, and then we can, it's a spiral of more fear.
Yeah.
Oh, I dropped a ball. I don't want to disappoint. So, yeah, I think understanding that God is the only one who doesn't exist in time and space, and we need to, we are just finite
mm-hmm.
creatures, and mm-hmm. we have to know that and know our limitations and know that it's okay to be weak and it's okay to fail and it's okay to rest
mm-hmm.
and know that when we are weak, then we are strong in Him. I think those are things that are hard for our busy, motivated, push and go society to understand
mm-hmm.
and grasp. Yeah.
So if women can encourage others and be full of love for others, it would certainly help them overcome the fear of other women, wouldn't it?
Yes, absolutely. If I think that that's one of the ways that we can love our neighbor and love our sisters is to encourage one another,
mm-hmm.
another, build one another up. We need encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes, we forget that we need to encouragement, but not only that, we need to encourage. If we can speak these truth and truth and love, but not just in correction, but really if we could speak words that build up and edify each other, I believe that that's one way that we can fight comparison
mm-hmm.
and anxiety. So I'll just give you an example. I am not creative in the least bit in regards to art. Like, my home isn't going to be this spectacular, glorious, beautiful place of artwork.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not that creative.
Yeah.
But when I see someone who is, I can rejoice and thank God that He's made her that way, and I can learn from her.
Mm-hmm.
I can learn from her. And so instead of comparing and feeling down on myself or comparing and thinking, oh, well, she thinks women, I can instead rejoice. The Lord has made her that way, and it is beautiful, and it's unique, and I can learn from it. And that's the same for all sorts of things that
mm-hmm.
we could do. A mother who can have a cake that is decorated gorgeously and this can design some sort of birthday party that's out of this world where, you know, I'm not, that's not maybe my style or
mm-hmm.
what I do, but I can still enjoy it.
I can
still, wow, you're so creative. That's the way the Lord has made you. What a delight.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. So
yeah.
I think we, that's how we fight that.
Yeah. I'm with you on the art thing. I can't tell the difference between modern art and vandalism.
Just be preference.
That's just preference.
Just
I go, is that art or
is
that art or is that vandalism? I can't tell the difference.
That is funny.
Okay, Julia, we're kind of starting to wrap the hour up a little bit, and I want to get back to some of the things that have really hit home for me, and I know that I personally suffer from the fear of tragedy, and I know where it comes from in my world. My mother, who's listening right now, is at 52, had buried three husbands.
Hmm.
Awkward pause. I get it.
Yeah. 52 and married three husbands. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
buried three, not married three. Well, she buried three, but she also buried three. She'd been a widow three times by 52.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I guess nothing can faze her now. I mean, the fear of tragedy. I mean, it's love and loss become metaphorical dance partners. I mean, you start to fear love because what if you lose? Now you're fearing tragedy.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you spend your whole life hoping that someone comes into your life, and then you just got to start fearing that you're going to start losing that person. It's like the fear doesn't end. You fear you're not going to meet them, and then when you meet them, you fear you're going to lose them.
Absolutely. Well, I have experienced death. I've had four miscarriages. My older sister died on her 40th birthday, and my father has passed away when I was 19. And then my mother-in-law has lost two of her very young sons. And so death is something that I understand, and it stings, and it's something that I've experienced. And it is what brings me hope isn't necessarily, that we're going to meet again in heaven, but that there is a heaven, that there will be one day a new heaven and earth, and God is going to wipe away every tear. Every tragedy will be no more. Death will be no more. It will be swallowed up for good. And that is a hope that I long for. I long for heaven. I know that it's near. Mm-hmm. And I know that one day all of this will end. It is not the way God intended it. Death is not the way God intended it. When he created the world, all was beautiful, but the fall ushered in this yucky thing that Adam would return to dust, and we will all be there with him. But one day it won't be that. And so that brings me hope. It brings me peace to know that this isn't the way it was intended, and one day goodbyes will be no more.
Right.
And mourning will be no more.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you've got such a beautiful spirit, and you've laughed at my jokes, so this has been win-win for me.
Well, you are encouraging.
Oh, thank
and you.
You
are funny, so I laugh at
thanks.
You're
thanks.
Funny.
You're embarrassing me. Continue. I'm thinking of that person out there who's listening, who has constant fear, and they're so tired of feeling beat up about struggling for approval, and they don't feel like they're enough, and they're tired. And would you pray for that person that is in that space today?
Yeah. Oh, well, God, I just thank you that you are an awesome God, that we could approach you. You are holy, but yet we can approach you because of Jesus. So Jesus, thank you that you say that we could come to your throne of grace in our time of need. And right now, God, there are people out there who are listening who need you. They need your grace. They need your mercy. And I pray that person who is at the end of their rope, they are just falling on their face. God, would you lift them up? God, that they are down, which is a appropriate place to be, Lord, but would you allow them to lift their eyes to you, God? May they see you, Lord. God, would they see that if they've placed their faith and trust in your finished work, God, that they are covered by your blood, and that you view them as righteous, which is incredible to us, Lord. We do not deserve it, but yet you did it. And so, God, we thank you for your gospel and that truth, God. Lord, I pray that for the person who is condemned, that they would preach and know that there is no condemnation for those who are in you, Lord. God, that you have covered them and you've said, well done. And you look at them and you say, well done, because of Jesus. So, God, thank you for that truth.
In his name, amen. Trillia, it's been great to have you on the program. My guest today is author Trillia Nubel about her book, Fear and Faith, Finding the Peace Your Heart Craves. You're listening to Live the Promise. I'm Bill Arnold in for Susie. Don't go away. Hour two is next.